And I'm going to let some of you discern this a little more. I think God has laid on a couple people's heart a little thing to say. And so I want to encourage us. I knew I wasn't supposed to speak this morning. And I think God is laying it on a few of you to that he's got something that he wants you to convey or contribute or give to the body. So I know Morgan has sensed something that's been welling up within her for the last while. And John also mentioned that he felt something from the Lord as well. So I really want to follow the move of the Spirit this morning. And I think we can walk through this together, certainly. So I'm not even sure who to invite first. Sounds like Morgan's up. So I think it's fantastic, and how God works within the body. And just, you know, when I think of church that I grew up in, even Kevin and I talked a little bit about it. We met on Thursday for a little while, and he said, you know, it's interesting because normally if a pastor goes away, like, he makes sure all the T's are crossed and the I's are dotted and the bulletin is made up and everything to, you know, and Kevin just felt such freedom to go and just say, the Spirit will lead. And so we're trusting in that, and we're going to walk that one out. I want to share with you guys that really, as Kevin and I talked and prayed about it a little bit on Thursday, he just said, yeah, he says, I have such peace about just going and knowing that God is in control, and he will, you know, bring our body into unity here this morning as they are down there. So I hope that doesn't put more pressure on you guys, but here we go. But I'm told you have to use a mic. Do you want this, or do you want a stand-up one?
No, I don't want my hands.
You don't want your hands?
We love you, Morgan.
Love you, Morgan.
Just pretend we're talking in the family.
I know.
Is this good? Is this good? So I have some. No. Can it just be? Sure. Okay. All right. So I'm just gonna share what God has been showing me, and I think He's probably been showing us all this in one way or another. But first off, this morning as we were driving to church, it was just so cool. In the sky, there was clouds, of course, and there I'm constantly looking at the clouds. But I started to notice that. So there was clouds, and they were constantly shifting, and then the sun was behind them. But this one cloud, it wasn't even the cloud, it was the light coming through the cloud, started to make the shape of the cross. And I was just like, what? But then the cool part, even more so, well, in conjunction, was that there were these rays of light coming out through the clouds, and it was just like, Jesus is alive, and he's risen, and
he's risen indeed.
And he's, yes, and then just with the clouds, I was like, and he's coming again in the clouds. Like, it's just so good, and I'm really excited about it. That was just such a confirmation to what God's been showing me. So in the last couple of weeks, I've just been in awe of God's greatness and amazed at his hand and just his abundance that he pours out on us, and just how good he is. I've been reading this book, the Sons of Encouragement book, and it kind of has centered on a lot of Old Testament characters, and it just kind of hit me, and it's such, like, we know this, but I was just like, oh man, the God that we serve is the exact same God as, like, who took the Israelites out of Egypt, and, his hand with an outstretched hand and like everything, that's the same God that we serve today. And yeah, it's just very incredible. And I just started thinking about that. And the God that we serve is the same God that was with Joshua and who circled Jericho and brought down a city just through faith. And how powerful he is. And the God that we serve is the same God that rose Jesus from the grave, and he, like, that's in us. And I've just been meditating on that, and it's just been this realization, and because there's knowledge, but then there's heart knowledge, and it's there now, and I'm just kind of wondering, like, if we actually believe that and know that in our hearts, what will our lives look like? Because I feel like there's, the church, we love Jesus, but there is somehow this disconnect. We don't realize just who we serve, and we're only living half the life that we're not holding on to everything that we can hold on to, that God gives us, that Jesus in us gives us. And there's reasons for that. So that's kind of been, that's one part, and it's just important right there. And just to be able to meditate on that, I think there's a reason why all throughout Scripture, like, it's those events are constantly repeated all the way through. And just to kind of for the church, and it begins with each of us individually, but to kind of look inside or whatever, like, reflect on are we living with that belief in our hearts? Do we really believe that God is who he says he is, and can do all the things that he has done and that we read about? That's kind of the part one. He doesn't change. There's just been something just kind of building up in me about that. And then as I'm reading this book and finishing up, I've also been reading another book talking about Jesus and his kingship, and just the controversy of it in regards to Jerusalem and the Jewish people. And there was this other thing that struck me, and again, it's, we all know it, but it's that Jesus is an actual king. He's not just spirit, like, he is spirit, but he's not, like, he's an actual king. And there's an actual kingdom, and again, we have just kind of spiritualized that, and we're not living it. We're not living it. Like, there's, and again, with all this talk about authority, and the church in North America, and I mean, in lots of places, but especially where we live, we're wondering where is all this? I've wondered that for a while, and but this reading this book, it just kind of hit me again, like, there's an actual kingdom, and we are citizens of it, and so what do we do with that? So that's what God's been pressing on my heart, that we begin living at this, because it's actually true. let's do it. Looking, and then so, just kind of looking on these two things alone, I feel like God's been teaching me this for a long time. It just kind of dawned on me that the first kind of note thing that I wrote was exactly that. Like, we say that he's our Lord or King, but do we actually know what that means? And I think God really would like to reveal to us what that means. And again, it starts with each of us. But I just remember this one time we had been we were worshiping, and I think maybe it was Candace who said that she had seen this electricity kind of hit one of those tower thingies. And then when she had said that, I had seen it start there, but then that means it's connected. And so kind of just we as individuals, or even we as different pockets of believers, it will start, as God teaches this to us, it'll start going out as well. This is just, sorry, me just kind of thinking things out, but even a few years ago, I had a dream about preparing for things to come, and again, just kind of pointing back to, I feel like there's always layers, but again, recently I was just like, oh, prepare for what's to come. We need to start preparing for the physical arrival of God's kingdom and Jesus coming back to reign physically in Jerusalem. And then the other part that kind of struck me in this was in this, as I was reading this about Jesus being king, was so the Jewish people, and again, it's all through scripture, there is this king coming. They were looking for this king who was going, like what we're looking for now, they were looking for, but God always does things in an unexpected way that doesn't make sense to us. So he came as savior first, but if he hadn't come as savior first, there would be no kingdom because we wouldn't be worthy to be in his kingdom. Sin would still, so it's just, God's plan is amazing. I feel like there is, I feel like that's, God's wanting to plant that in our hearts more and more, just to, so here he is as king, let's proclaim him or be as heralds in this one book, I don't know how kings work or whatnot, but in the old days or whatever, there was, people would come and proclaim the coming kingdom and basically choose today whom you are going to serve. If you don't choose the king that's coming, he's not going to allow people who aren't going to serve him to remain in the kingdom. And we have kind of forgotten that part, I think. Jesus is Savior. He has saved us, but he's also a king, and he's coming. And the church isn't prepared for it, and we need to prepare. Because there's a whole world out there that is going to perish because they don't know that there's a king coming. So we need to proclaim King Jesus is coming, and they're not going to like that. Nobody wants to be under authority, especially to this invisible king. But we need to start proclaiming his coming. So this is just kind of become very important to me for non-believers, but also the Jewish people. It's just so important that our lives, that we come under his kingship here and now. If there's not a difference between his citizens and those who have rejected him, how will they know? They need to see something different. Yeah. So as God's been talking to me, this was just a confirmation. I was like, what's next? What do I do? what are we supposed to do? And he gave me as I was waking up the next morning, where is it? He gave me a verse in answer to that, which I love. was 1 Peter 13. Therefore, with minds that are alert, actually in the ESV it says, preparing your minds for action, and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. And just as we've been singing, again, that's what, that's what we cling to. If we don't believe it, we're not going to move to action on it. Basically, it's time to prepare our minds for action. Be sober, and I love what comes after. And again, this isn't like something that is gonna just switch, but I think we need to move on it quickly. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance, but just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do, for it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. And then he goes on. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. Basically, this whole, Peter's whole letter is important. Live as God's slaves. We just need to surrender everything. And a lot of the times, it seems like we have these big things to surrender, but really there's lots of little things too. I'm just thinking of all the silly things that really hinder me from focusing completely on Jesus. And I mean, it can be, for me, and this isn't everyone, but for me, it could be as simple as looking in the mirror. Do I look fine? That sort of thing. It's just, or I the one thing that God has, even social media, how the internet, even good things on there, how quickly they draw my attention away from him. And I feel like God is, when Peter and talking about lust and stuff, it can be more than just looking at another person. It's we lust after food. I can't even tell you how many times, oh man, I could really go, I want chocolate. It's just, and God's just showing me if that's what my mind is fixed on and that's what's gonna satisfy me in that moment, it's not no, that's a lie. And so those sorts of things, just calling us to be just a separate people, not going the way that even seems right. Because a lot of things in the world do seem, oh, that makes sense to do, or retirement or whatever. Let's save for retirement. No, because those sorts of things, I think we need to start being more sensitive to what God is asking us to do, even if it seems just like pathetic, like small or whatever. We need to hear and obey these things. He's calling us to something greater. And our phones or whatever, like those are, they're not Jesus. it's a thing that's passing away. The one verse that's kind of always struck me is in 1 Corinthians. Because, I mean, Peter and Paul, they were living in the last days. They were constantly saying that, and that was 2,000 years ago. But even then, Paul was, where is it, 7:29. So, I mean, brothers and sisters, he's talking about marriage, but it really, he ties other things in. What I mean, brothers and sisters, is that the time is short. From now on, those who have wives should live as if they do not. Those who mourn as if they did not. Those who are happy as if they were not. Those who buy something as if it weren't theirs to keep. Those who use the things of this world as if not engrossed in them. For this world in its present form is passing away. And we need to live like it is, because it is. And I think God wants us to live as a light, as everything that he says, because he's coming, and we have been preparing, and now we need to keep preparing. I've been really nervous about today because I'm not a good speaker. So I was just like, God, can you give me just one more confirmation? So this morning I woke up and I heard the words, out of touch, then you'll be out of reality. And I just kind of took that to mean when we're out of touch with God, then we're not in reality. We're out of reality. The reality is we are citizens of his kingdom, and so we need to live like citizens of his kingdom and prepare the way and announce his coming. Even though we're going to sound ridiculous, people are going to, whatever, but that's where we trust in the Holy Spirit, because it's by his power, and but we do need to be faithful. And I guess it's kind of funny, I was like, oh, like, we'll probably, with that sort of message and living like that, or just living differently, so I think of, like, us living in community and stuff, like, that doesn't make sense to people, because it's so opposite to what the world is kind of against family. But I was just like, oh, it's interesting, like, people will say that we're out of touch with reality, with what we believe, but no, that is reality. And so, yeah, I feel like with what people have been reading about authority, and that all ties into this, and be encouraged, like, God is with us, and be strong and do it, basically. So I think that's it. Yes. Hopefully that made sense. Yeah. So God, you are so good, and your plan is so perfect. Yeah, Lord, we come to you, and I just ask that you would open our eyes to see and to just feel everything that you have for us. And that, yeah, you would, here's the seed that you've given, and Lord, plant it and grow. Let us be a church that bears fruit for you in this wilderness. And Lord, fill us with expectation of your coming. Let it be foremost in our mind that you came, you died, so that we would be with you, that we would be with you forever. And Lord, I pray that that would be our hope. You are our hope, and you are our King. Lord, you are with us. Those who look to you and are in your under your wing, you protect, and yeah, Lord, you are with us. And basically, Psalm 91. That's we can rest in that. We go to battle, Lord, in your name, in your rest, under your wing. And yeah, we pray for boldness, and we praise your name, God, and I thank you that you are God. Amen.
I'm just going to grab my glasses. So last Tuesday morning, I received a word from the Lord very directly that I shared Tuesday night at the Journey. And I haven't received a word like this and as poignant and as powerful. And the word was this: I have called you to do violence against the kingdom of darkness. So, Satan has two goals and only two goals. And that is to keep people from becoming Christians. But if he does get them to become Christians, he wants to hide the kingdom from them. And everything that they're supposed to walk in. And so I've been thinking a lot about the blood of Christ and Passover. And this could be a very long message, but I don't want to do that because just thinking, I'll go all over the place if I don't do this. But the message of the Passover blood, I believe there is more power in one drop of Christ's blood than the whole kingdom of darkness. And we have to remember that. What started all of this was a passage in Acts 15 where the elders, along with the Holy Spirit, are writing a letter to the Gentiles saying what they should do. And the very last thing, it says, you should abstain from strangled animals. And I thought, that's such a curious thing, because it puts it right there with abstaining from, you know, fornication, and it just seemed odd. So I went on a journey trying to explore about what that meant. And obviously, the practical end of it is if an animal is strangled and you eat it, the blood is still within the animal. It hasn't been drained. And that's an abomination. And that's actually before the law of Moses, because in Genesis 9:4 it says, you shall abstain from the blood, right? In Hebrews 12, 24, it talks about the blood of Abel, the blood of Christ speaking better than the blood of Abel. And there's three things upon meditation that came forward, and that is Abel's blood was taken unwillingly, but Christ willingly gave of his blood. Abel's blood went onto the ground, but Christ's blood is sprinkled in the heavenlies. And thirdly, Abel's blood cries for vengeance, but Christ's blood I didn't want to get emotional but Christ's blood cries for mercy. And that's why Christ's blood speaks better than that of Abel's. In Leviticus 16:14, it talks about the priests sprinkling the blood between the veil and the mercy seat. And he does it seven times. And I believe it's a type of foreshadowing or predicting the sevenfold sprinkling of Christ's blood. The life was in the blood, and it's a prediction of the cross. I'll just mention the seven things quickly. In the garden, he prayed, and he was pouring drops of blood like sweat. Secondly, in the house at the high priest, he was struck on the face with rods. That was causing blood. Thirdly, they pulled his beard in tufts, which created blood. Four, they handed him over to Pilate to be scourged. Five, in mocking, they placed the crown of thorns on him. Six, they nailed him to a cross. And seven, a soldier pierced his side. But the sevenfold sprinkling of Christ's blood also speaks of the sevenfold provisions of the blood. One, redemption. Two, cleansing. Three, justification. Four, sanctification. I have scripture verses for all these. five, life. Six, intercession. And seven, access. The seven ways the blood works. And we have overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb. But here speaks to Morgan's point. How Okay, I have to, if you can imagine Passover, the father had to take the lamb and kill it, slain it, and it puts the blood in the basin, right? And so the father has to kill the lamb. God had to kill his lamb, right? And then they were to take the blood from the basin and put it on the doorposts and on the lintel, but not on the threshold, which is interesting because the protection was for those inside, but if they crossed over the threshold, the angel of death was going to get them. But what is interesting is we have the blood in the basin, and we have the doorposts, but what gets the blood out of the basin onto the doorpost? It's the hyssop. And we are the hyssop. Hyssop is just a weed. It's nothing special, but it's what takes the blood from the basin and puts it on the doorposts. We are the hyssop. And what does that mean in reality is they overcome Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So the hyssop is our word, our proclamation. That's what gets the protection. That's what gets us covered, is our word, the proclamation. We are the hyssop that gets the blood from the basin onto the doorposts. Wow, there's so much. We have overcome Satan when we testify personally to what the Word of God says about what the blood of Christ does for us. I'll repeat that. We have overcome Satan when we testify personally to what the Word of God says about what the blood of Christ does for us. Christ is the true Passover. So it's interesting. I'll just, in Hebrews 3, verse 1, Hebrews, it talks about the word of our testimony. Hebrews 4, 14, it talks about the word of our testimony. Hebrews 10, verses 23, it talks about the word of our testimony. So it's almost like the Holy Spirit is saying, fasten your seatbelts, there's going to be turbulence, right? There's going to be turbulence because when we start physically proclaiming what the blood of Christ has done, we are going to start appropriating the reality of the kingdom of God within ourselves. And, you know, I had, you know, God bless Kevin, last week he said he's shy. He's kind of a shy guy. He doesn't want to speak out. It's not easy for him. I don't think it's easy for any of us because everyone's going to think we're lunatics, right? And that's... but I think God is waiting for us to proclaim, to be the hyssop, to get the blood from the basin onto the doorposts for everybody, you know? So anyway, I just thought that spoke to what you were saying about proclamation, to herald, right? And it's the word of our testimony. That's the practical application. And, you know, Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of Christ for salvation. And it's like, well, you know what? Sometimes I have to be candid and say, I am embarrassed. I'm not forthcoming as I should be. I'm just by way of confession. you know, because we do want the approval of man over the approval of Christ many times. And yeah, anyway, so that was just a little bit of what I had, but
for not saving for retirement anymore, for something that we've been going through lately is our budget, our finances, and what we're supposed to go towards and what we're not. And Hans is constantly asking, like, can you train about like what we're supposed to do for my life and disability and stuff like that at work? And I haven't worked all the way through it yet. I'm in process, but there's that place of like, do you trust me enough to know that I'll provide for you if something were to happen? And that's another one, because there's huge weight behind it. That's not only, does it not only affect me, but it affects both of them, and it's a hard one. But when you start telling people, even fellow Christians, like, I don't think that I'm supposed to put God's not calling me to put into that. Like, it's that shyness, it's that, like, well, it's not, it doesn't make sense. But when we start walking that out, totally, I'm not there yet, Ellen, especially that, I'm still praying through it, but there's such a, yeah, our testimony, the way that we share it, the way that we speak it out, it's so, like, I think it's, when we get to that place, but we can do that, but we can say, yeah, I didn't put away for retirement because I didn't feel like I was supposed to, or put into life and disability, and if something happens, well, I have to trust in God that you'll, yeah, it's totally different, and then to be able to share that with others is where, like, John knows, the three times of being told, like, prepare for a testimony, like that, speak of your testimony kind of thing. Like, it's almost like the Holy Spirit, like, through Paul, is just trying to encourage us, like, we're prepared to it not be okay, like, not be received, or, but to still share it.
I really want to affirm too, like, everything that was spoken. This past month, like, I had a lot of time to test it with the Lord. This past month, I had a lot of time to sit with the Lord and pray and listen and read. And I was asking God questions. And that's not questions that I've not asked him before, but I just felt that I still had freedom from the Lord to just continue to ask these questions. And one question often that I've asked the Lord is, where are we on the timeline? And you know, like, I'll say to God, you know, not that I have to know exactly, but, you know, like, if you want to share that with me. And I didn't hear anything. But on the way home, we were already stopped at Beckley, and I pulled out my Bible. And anyway, just God just showed a few things, and just with Josh sharing, and yeah, like, I just, my spirit resonates so much in everything that was shared from Morgan and John, you and Josh. But I just felt the Lord, and he showed me, like, it was a few different things that I read, and it was like God saying, it's time, it's now. And when I was little and I would think about Jesus coming again, I had this picture, because in those days I was like, oh, the rapture is going to come. So in my head it was like, well, we wouldn't know when that would happen. But now that I think in God's mercy, we are going to have a better understanding actually of the timing when we're in the tribulation. But I would have this picture of running to everybody that I would know and be proclaiming, he's coming, get ready, get ready. And I just felt now, even this morning, that the Lord's saying, it's now. And so even the scandal of grace, it's like, oh, to be like you, but give all I have just to know you, like everything that we have. And I think it ties into Jonah, that it, like, we have to die. We have to die to ourselves completely. And then God's going to just, he's gonna flow through. And yeah, so Oh, and also in conjunction with what I was reading on in Beckley there, the first thing that I read was God's provision, and he had given Larry and I a verse when we left the farm, and it was actually the story or the account of Jesus coming to Peter and Andrew, and they had been fishing all night, and then he said to them, cast your nets, and they had the biggest haul of fish ever that they had ever had, and then it says, and they left everything and followed him. But I just felt God saying, for that time, I'm going to provide for you. And I just felt God saying again, I'm going to provide for you. Just give everything and just, or leave everything and just follow me. So, yeah.
Josh, I haven't read. Plan for retirement either. I just trust that my kids are going to look after me when I'm old and decrepit. So, I appreciate just how the Spirit has moved this morning, and just the tie-ins and the, you know, just how He's brought it all together, and just stuff that's been going through my mind too, and whether it's stuff that I've been reading on authority or. Or even just, you know, like I shared after Morgan, like just, okay, look, the world is acceptable or understands, you know, me going to church and stuff, but do they see me living the difference? Like, do they see me walking in the fullness of that? Because that should not shock them, but maybe it should shock them, but it should, like, it should be radically different than the world sees, knows, or understands. And so to walk in the fullness of proclaiming him and you know, walking in that authority is a good reminder today, maybe especially this weekend as we celebrate Passover. So I appreciate both those words that you guys had. Is there anything else? Any other comments or questions? And then Craig, I think you're okay. Let's worship.